Oh, it's good to be back. I've got no note, I've got no plan really, but that must mean one thing. It's time for the European Uppercut Podcast.
Oh, European Uppercut!
You're listening to the European Uppercut Podcast, a podcast that talks about professional wrestling. My name's Kai Valentine. I am your solo host for this evening, and it's great to be back. It's been about 2 months since I've done this, even just sitting in front of a microphone, which is the longest time in, God, nearly 3 years. Actually, yeah, the longest time in 3 years that I've not sat in front of a microphone. Now, you may not have realised that if you are fans of Legends on Siren FM and here on the Trending Topics Network, as they have been going out for the last few months. However, they were pre-recorded, gosh, about 3 months ago. So it has been really, really great to be able to sit down tonight in front of this microphone, a little bit impromptu. I didn't know that I was going to be doing this evening. I didn't know whether I'd have time or chance. And I tell you what I have missed about sitting in front of a microphone, and that's that actually being able to talk about stuff that's going on. And that's one thing that I miss about doing things like Squabblebox, which, for those who don't know, I presented for nearly 3 years on Siren FM and Brayford Radio and here on the Trending Topics Network with my amazing co-host Maisie. And, you know, I miss Maisie. I miss doing radio with Maisie. I also miss having a chance to talk about stuff that's going on other than wrestling. And I think that's something that I've been lacking in the last few months and really struggling with, actually. And it kind of hit me today when I was listening to the new rebooted, reintroduced Hanging with Heavy with Heavy Set. And I was listening to him talk about how, you know, it's good that he's now got a forum to talk about stuff that's going on in his life and being able to talk about things that aren't wrestling. And yeah, that's got me thinking really about stuff that I've kind of missed having the chance to do over the last few months. So maybe I'll have to do something about that over the next few months, but we'll have to see. But I will just give a brief little chat before we start talking about Battleground and everything that's been going on in the world of wrestling, about what's been going on with me. I have moved house. People may know when they first started this show, I was living in Yorkshire. I was then living in Lincolnshire at university for 3 years, and now I'm living in Cambridgeshire. Not far from Ant the Vigilante, old co-host of this show. And I've got a proper job after finishing uni. I've put my hopes and dreams of being something to do with radio or public relations or social media management on hold for a little while. And yeah, I'm now serving coffee, working for a highly reputable coffee establishment, who I won't name, but I will say have been amazing to me over the last few weeks. And that's not just because I'm getting a paycheck coming into my bank account every 2 weeks, but that is nice. I've also got a new house. I've been living at my, essentially mother-in-law's for the last 2 months, nearly month. Yeah, just under 2 months, and it's been good. They've been very welcoming to me down here. I have all my girlfriend's family, but it is going to be nice to be in a place of our own. We are. I won't go too much into it, but it's a very, very nice house. We've fallen on our feet, I should say. I was expecting to be in the shittest little thing ever, but it's a really, really nice house. So I'm very, very happy. Things are up in the air at the minute. We haven't got Wi-Fi over there. This is my final night at my partner's mother's house, so we've decided. So I decided, you know what? I've got Wi-Fi here. Might as well have a go at this. So let's we're going to get in and talk about some wrestling anyway, because I'm sure the people who are interested in my life and stuff may want to know, but there are people here who don't want to hear all about that, and we are nearly 5 minutes, just hit the 5 minute mark on my recording into the show. You'll probably just be a little bit over, but let's go in to talk about wrestling and what's been going on, and that is where we will start with the emails. Remember, you can email in to eurouppercut@gmail.com. You can also tweet us at the EU pod on Twitter. So let's have a look and see if we've had any emails in this week. We haven't had any emails. Oh, how embarrassing. Mr. Fourth Row, you have let us down, probably because we've let you down on many occasions of not reading your emails. But, that's a shame. No one sent us any emails. Remember, you can email in eurouppercut@gmail.com. Make sure you do that for next week. But let's get on with the show then, as we head to my favourite New Zealander. I've just pissed off a lot of people. No, to my favourite New Zealand news correspondent, GBL.
It's time for the Nutso Knockout News!
Hello and welcome to the Nutso Knockout News, the New Zealand edition. Buddy Murphy may have suffered an ankle or leg injury at Thursday's WWE NXT live event in Cocoa, Florida, according to multiple correspondents in attendance. During the main event, which saw Hideo Itami and the Velveteen Dream defeat Murphy and Cassius Ohno, Murphy went down early in the match after landing bad on his ankle. A trainer came down and talked to Murphy for a minute, and it looked like Murphy wanted to stay in the match. A referee came down and talked to Murphy, apparently talking him into going to the back to get checked out. Ohno then worked the rest of the match on his own.
Gross.
Mattel and WWE are launching a girls' product line that features the first ever fashion dolls of Nikki and Brie Bella, Sasha Banks, Natalia, Charlotte Flair, Becky Lynch, Alicia Fox, and Eva Marie. To leverage the popularity of WWE's female superstars and gives its sizable girl fan base a new way to connect with their favourite brands. The new WWE Superstar product line was revealed at the San Diego Comic-Con and offers fans an original way to play, and includes the following: the WWE Women's Championship title belt with authentic styling and sleek metallic medallions, in addition to fun accessories like a Bayley-inspired headband and Sasha Banks's legit boss rings. The dolls will be available for pre-order online only at ToysRUs.com beginning Monday, July 24th, and exclusively at Toys R Us stores.
Good morning, Hebrews and Shebrews.
Kurt Angle The Essential Collection DVD comes out on August 1st, according to WrestlingDVDNetwork.com. The set will include an exclusive interview with Angle. The segments will run between each of the 25 featured matches. A full runtime of the DVD set is 8 hours and 44 minutes. You can pre-order the set via Amazon. This is the first WWE DVD set to be released on the Raw General Manager.
No!
There's speculation that former Ring of Honor star Donovan Dijak may be signing with WWE soon, as he is no longer accepting indie bookings, according to New Age Insiders. Dijak made the announcement on their podcast this week. Dijak left Ring of Honor earlier this year, and it was reported that WWE had interest in signing him, along with Crazy Steve, Kyle O'Reilly, Leo Rush, and Gunnar. WWE has a new poll asking fans what should Chad Gable's next move on SmackDown be, now that Jason Jordan went to Raw after being revealed as the long-lost son of Raw General Manager Kurt Angle. At the time of this recording, 81% voted, build off his recent string of singles matches and pursue individual title glory. The rest went with form another tag team and pursue the SmackDown Tag Team Championship.
And well, weapons are not only welcomed, they're allowed.
WWE and E have confirmed that the Total Bellas Season 2 premiere will take place on Wednesday, September 6th at 9 p.m. Eastern. 8 one-hour episodes will run this season. E has also confirmed that Carmella, Nia Jax, and Raw Women's Champion Alexa Bliss will be joining the Total Divas for the 7th season.
Gross.
And celebrating birthdays this week, Tori Wilson turns 42.
How you doing?
Finn Balor is 36.
How you doing?
And the game Triple H is 48.
How you doing?
And that'll do it for this week's Not So Knockout News.
Thank you, GBL, as always, for your weekly update here on the European Uppercut Podcast with the Not So Knockout News. And we're going to get into talk about a couple of the news stories now. And the first one is Buddy Murphy injured possibly at an NXT event. I'm not going to lie, I then missed so much of that news and I had to go back and listen again because I spent the time Googling Buddy Murphy because I didn't know that he was still on the roster. Is he the one that... So I'm on their Wikipedia page now. I didn't realise... Now, I am a bit behind on NXT. I'm not going to lie to you and bullshit and pretend that I know what I'm talking about. I don't. I am so behind on NXT. I've only been watching the takeovers for about 6 months now, since the beginning of the year, to be fair. But Blake and Murphy, now their Wikipedia page is saying they were a professional wrestling tag team, so obviously they've split up since their valet, Alexa Bliss. Who knew that Alexa Bliss would go on to that stardom that quickly compared to these two, but I'm pretty sure Buddy Murphy is the one that's dating Alexa Bliss. Oh, they're engaged. Ah, right. Oh, well, I hope that Buddy Murphy is okay. You know, you wouldn't wish injury on anyone, but is he going to ever find his break in the WWE? Do you think, does anyone at home think that Buddy Murphy or Wesley Blake are going to make it in the WWE? I think it's going to be a real big push and not the good kind of push. I think it really would take something massive for that to happen. But you never know in the world of professional wrestling. Let's move on to the next story, which is Barbie women's superstars wrestling figures. Now, this is something I'm qualified to talk about. NXT, not really, but I do collect wrestling figures, and I have heard about this story for quite some time now. And I think it's interesting. It's a, why not? It's Mattel that are making them. They obviously are the makers of Barbie, and it seems to be going down that direction. And it's a great marketing strategy. I mean, young girls are going to, or guys, but for the majority, young girls are going to be interested in playing with these kind of dolls. Yeah, they are interested in the wrestling figures, the traditional wrestling figures that Mattel have made and Jax have made and Hasbro made, but never made any women's wrestlers. But if you put them in doll form, like a traditional Barbie doll, there's going to be some girls out there that would never play with wrestling figures because they were, and I hate to use the words, but too boyish. And that to say that in the 21st century at this point is quite a difficult thing to say, but it's a true fact of how some people perceive things and how those roles are still there and entrenched in society. But I am interested to see how these sell. Could they be big sellers and we see them on shelves for years to come? I think so. I think they could be a hot thing this Christmas, but we'll have to wait and see. They are available to pre-order via Toys R Us exclusive. So yeah, I'm always interested to see them try new things. It's like nothing can be as bad as the thing that they tried a few years ago around Halloween. I don't know if any of you saw it, but zombie WWE figures. They took, now some of them looked pretty cool. Like you see Bray Wyatt in zombie form, or who else was there? Was Bray Wyatt, there was The Undertaker. They were really cool in zombie form. But then you had like, oh, here's a, you know, here's a John Cena. Well, we just couldn't sell all these John Cena figures because there's so many of them that we make because they do sell that well. But then we got all the basic ones and it was like, oh no, There's too many. Let's just change the model into a slightly zombified version for Halloween. And that's also a good marketing strategy. But I think these have longer staying power and can be a big thing year-round. So I'm interested to see where it goes. Other news stories that GBL brings up. Kurt Angle's DVD. Excited to see that. Are you at home? I'm not really... Do people go out and buy the DVDs anymore? I mean, I thought that the WWE 24 special on Angle was so brilliant. I'm not sure what a DVD, other than a collection of his matches, which I can still find on the network, is going to do for me. I really don't know. I am moving into the 21st century slowly but surely and accepting that the network is the way to go. I had a collection of wrestling DVDs that could have filled my new house, and for that simple reason I got rid of them. but I don't think I'll be buying a new DVD anytime soon for wrestling, unfortunately. There's just no need for it anymore. I can see the collector's item thing about it, you know, as a wrestling figure collector, but no, DVDs just don't do it for me anymore. And finally, Total Bellas, Total Divas coming back soon. A whole new cast of Total Divas, loads of new girls coming to the show. That can only freshen it up. Personally, I don't watch it, but I know a lot of people do. And Total Bellas was doing very well, apparently, on the E! Network. So it's always good to see more of this kind of programming. I like to see that this kind of programming is thriving away from in-ring action, and it's hitting different markets, and that's what the WWE are best at. So thank you, GBL, for the news as always, and we're going to carry on with today's show as we talk all about Battleground. We'll go into the picks and more right after this.
Hey, you're listening to Robbie X. Make sure you check out European Uppercut Podcast. Robbie X. Oh,
sometimes I get a good feeling. On Sunday night, it was Battleground, WWE's Battleground, which seems to be turning more and more into the Great American Bash every year. But can you blame them? It's a July pay-per-view. You guys have that Independence Day thingamabob in July. Maybe you should put this pay-per-view a little bit closer. I mean, if this happened on the Sunday around Independence Day, maybe more Americans would be like, oh yeah, yeah, I don't know why all Americans talk like this, but I'm from New York. No. Yeah. That was really bad. I'll keep it in. Anyway, Battleground is in the books. We have the result. Hopefully you've seen it by now. If not, pause the podcast and come back to us when you have seen it, because a whole lot of spoilers are coming your way. Aiden English versus Ty Dillinger was the pre-show match. This is the one match that I haven't seen, so I'm getting it out of the way first. And it was, surprisingly, for the pre-show match, it was the second shortest match of the night, which is strange nowadays. Normally the pre-show match gets a lot of time, but no, Aiden English defeated Ty Dillinger, and that kicked off what was going to be the most unpredictable pay-per-view of the year so far, according to our sheet, for sure, as Ty Dillinger lost to Aiden English, and only two men went with English, and that was Kiwi Tut, and Finn Fish, one for either side there, going with English. And that's the thing about this. Sometimes you got to take that risk. I got to admit, I nearly went with Aiden English, and I'm so gutted that I didn't go with him. But you cannot help; it can't be helped. And well, let's see what it was. From what I've heard, it was an okay match, not a great one. But Ty's going to be over anyway with his 10 chant, and Aiden English getting that win, kind of what he needed after the Simon Gotch fiasco. Simon Gotch fiasco, that sounds like something I'd have learnt in history. Like, just after 1066, there was the Simon Gotch fiasco of Huntingdon. The Simon Gotch fiasco of Lincolnshire. That literally could just be something. If I tried to teach you Americans about the Simon Gotch fiasco, you would be shocked. You would be outraged, but not as outraged as us, the British. I think my British accent is worse than my American. Anyway, let's move on to the main show of Battleground. And coming up first was The New Day defeating the Usos for the WWE SmackDown Tag Team Championships in 13 minutes and 50 seconds. And I tell you what, this 13 minutes and 50 second match was fantastic. It was match of the night for sure. Best match I've seen in a good few months. Well, best tag team match I've seen in a good few months. But mind you, the Iron Man match wasn't that bad, was it? All right, it was a decent match. Let's just put it that way. Best match of the night, for sure. But it did involve a Punjabi prison match. Anyway, stop going on tangents, Kai. You've done this. You've not done this for a while. Let's just keep going. The New Day, Kofi Kingston and Xavier Woods defeating the Usos. This match had so many false finishes. You couldn't even, by the end of it, you really were feeling unpredictable, like you couldn't predict what was going to happen, and that's the best thing. That was false finishes used correctly. There was a lot of them, and some people may complain that, oh, it's not good to use all these false finishes and kicking out of finishes and things like that, but I would disagree. I think that it made this match special. It made it a little bit more unpredictable. And by the second or third false finish, I really didn't know what was going to happen. But the New Day pick up the win, and I'm very happy about that. It solidifies the New Day as the only people to hold the WWE SmackDown Tag Team Championships and the Raw Tag Team Championships. And I read a stat somewhere that Kofi Kingston is the only man in history to hold the WWE Raw Tag Team Championships, the SmackDown Tag Team Championships, the World Tag Team Championships, and the WWE Tag Team Championships. So he's held a lot of Tag Team Championships. Tag Team Championships is a strange phase when you've said Tag Team Championships more times than I've said Tag Team Championships. But no, really happy with that match, and let's move on with the show, because I'm not going to lie, I'm trying to be positive here, but it's all a bit downhill from here. Let's move on to Shinsuke Nakamura defeating Baron Corbin by disqualification. 12 minutes 25. Oh, this could have been such a great match. It really could have. But the screwy finish just made me think, not a fan. I wasn't a fan of the screwy finish, especially seeing as though then on SmackDown, Baron Corbin loses to Nakamura clean. Like, why do the screwy finish if you're just going to have him job out? Job's a funny word, but if you're just going to have him lose on SmackDown, like, two nights later, what's the point in protecting him on pay-per-view? And also, what's the point in giving us the clean victory on free TV, whereas the shitty ones on paper? I don't get it. I was really disappointed with this match. This is the first time I've walked out of a Nakamura match and gone, I'm disappointed with this. Wasn't a fan, not gonna lie. But it means that both can now hopefully move on to other feuds and maybe put this, you know, to put this to bed further down the road one day, maybe even over the championship. the WWE Championship, that is, at some point. Who knows? But I didn't like it. Didn't like this match. Didn't like the ending. Not a fan. Let's have a look at the sheet, though. If you disagree with anything that I say tonight, please do get in touch, because I do want to know. I do want to know, you know, why you disagree, and we can have a healthy conversation about it. That's what this is all about. Discussion is the best thing, and it makes wrestling more fun, for me anyway. But this was one of the only matches that we had almost everyone agreeing on. There was only one man that disagreed, and that was Living Legend. He went with Baron Corbin. Now, technically, Legend was probably more right than the rest of us, because Baron Corbin did come out the only man standing. However, it was Nakamura who got the DQ victory, so everyone else gets the points. We do see a plus 5 from Wayne, pointing on Nakamura, plus 2 from GBL, a plus 2 from Kiwi, plus 5s from Finn Fish and Man in Black. But other than that, everyone's getting the points, except for you, Legend. You let the side down. Again, other matches that we've missed out as well were the New Day vs. the Usos. Lots of people went with the New Day, and these, well, actually, no, it was more 50-50, to be honest, but there's one man who really lost out, and that's Mikey Misfit, who put a plus 5 on the Usos. Bad choice, Mikey. Bad choice. On to the next match, and we saw the women's Fatal 5 elimination match to determine the number one contender for the SmackDown Women's Championship at SummerSlam. Natalia defeated Becky Lynch, Charlotte, Lana, and Tamina. This was an alright match. Am I a fan of Lana and Tamina? It's going to take some getting used to. Something's going to have to be done to sway me, I think. But no, overall, decent match. The thing that I liked most about it is the result shocked me. If anything, with this pay-per-view, the thing that I liked about it the most, liked about it at all, was the fact that it shocked me. It was unpredictable. That saved it for me in my eyes. And Natalia getting the win, I don't think anyone went with Natalia on the sheet. Let's have a check. Oh, one person. And that's PK. Mr. PK Punk. Well done. The only person to go with Natalia. Well, congratulations, PK. You got the point there. Everyone else going with... lots of people going with Charlotte, few with Becky, and myself, I went with Becky. I really thought that they were going to be, this was where Becky would get the win, and then she'd turn heel at some point, and I think that is coming down the road, but maybe not quite yet. I'm interested to see how this goes with Natalia. I mean, she's getting on a little bit now, she's been in WWE for a very, very long time. It's nice to see that they are putting her in a position to be a main card attraction for a women's title match, for a women's world championship match at a major pay-per-view. So it's going to be really cool to see. So congratulations to Natalia there. She has earned it for all her years service just to get that payday. Let's hope that they put it on the main card and not the pre-show. But, you know, it's going to be a 7-8 hour show is SummerSlam, so better strap in. And these two girls may be worried that people are entering the building whilst they're wrestling their match. But hopefully not. I really hope that that is not the case. On to the next match, and we saw Kevin Owens defeat AJ Styles to become the WWE United States Champion. Now, I am recording this on the 27th of July at 19:39 p.m. and 28 seconds, 29 seconds, 30 seconds. You get the point. At this point, the United States Championship has changed hands back to AJ Styles. Do I know that by the time this comes out, hopefully later tonight or tomorrow, that the United States Championship hasn't changed back hands about six or seven times? I don't know. But it was an alright match. The ending was unpredictable, probably because it was unpredictable to the people in the ring and the people backstage as well. Something was very strange with this one. Something you talk about unpredictable. From what I've read, half the people backstage didn't know what was going on. And it was a last-minute decision by Vince McMahon. Whether that's true or not, you know, take that with a pinch of salt. However, whatever happened, the ref bump seemed really strange. Seemed in a really weird place. Didn't seem to fit at all. Does anyone else realise that? The ref went down and then didn't really factor in with any of the match. Now that shows realism, and maybe that needs to happen every so often, but I just felt like it didn't really fit here. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm being a little bit too negative on it. AJ Styles is now back United States Champion after SmackDown. I like that these guys have traded the belt a little bit. I think that it probably needs to stop now for a little while. And I think Kevin Owens needs to not regain it for a little while. But who knows? Who knows what they may be planning next? But like I say, unpredictable. Can't complain. Let's take a look at the sheet then, because a lot of people went with AJ Styles. He was the bookies' favourite even, so even the people who put the smart money in were missing out on that one for sure. But AJ Styles, everyone went with Styles apart from... No, it's going to be a case of everyone went with Styles. Nobody thought that the championship would change hands that soon. Well. How could we all be so stupid as to think that the WWE would have some logic behind their decision-making skills? Now, I'm sure there is. In fact, it's getting people talking. It's making it unpredictable. That's what I'm pushing. That's the line. I'm pushing the company line. It's unpredictable. That's what matters. Styles lost out, and it cost a lot of people, including myself, plus 5 points. I really thought that was going to be a dead cert. I really did. But Styles and Owens have a chemistry when they get in the ring. Now, it didn't seem to be fully there at Battleground, but after reading about how everything seems to be changing at the last minute, you can kind of understand why. But you could put these guys in a ring in the, you know, at WrestleMania or in a bingo hall in Philadelphia, and it would get the same kind of crowd response and the same quality of match as well. So they've always got that chemistry. And it'll be interesting to see where they go from here. Will it be something that drags on much longer? What's Chris Jericho's role going to be? Is he just back for one night, or is he back for good? Who knows? It's going to be very interesting indeed. Let's go on. Oh, before I fall asleep, to the next match. I know that I've just made half of you all yawn in unison, so I apologise if you're at work or speaking, sat with your wife who thinks that you're yawning because of her, and she's going, no, I'm not bothered about you yawning because of her. I just want you to take your fucking headphones off, you twat. I think I have a few issues. Let's move on to the next match, and that is John Cena defeating Rusev in a flag match. USA! 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 I just want to point out at this point how awful this crowd were, that you couldn't even start a USA chant during a flag match. Of all the matches! Like, when Americans start talking about, like, independence and all this kind of patriarchal things. Patriarchal? Patriarchal society is men, isn't it? But they're let's have a Google. Patriotism, that's the word I'm looking for. When you talk about patriotism and things like that, you know, it's hard for us to even, like, part of me wants to sit here and go, no, that's stupid, and laugh at you, and sometimes I do, and then sometimes when you get really, really invested, I'm there going, yeah, I'm a real American, I want to fight for the right of every man, but I digress. It was a fun match. You know, it was probably one of the better flag matches in history. I spoke to Legend about this and he was adamant that he didn't enjoy it. But I tell you what, I'm going to defend it. I'm going to defend this match now because I actually rather enjoyed it. I thought that it told that story. We all knew what was going to happen. We knew that that Cena was going to win and that it was going to be all about America, and it was probably the best thing that could have happened, to be honest. I don't think it really hurt Rusev. He got to run through two tables and didn't get pinned. Does it really matter? No. Move him on to the next person. But it's been... I thought it was alright. I would have liked a bit more... I'd have liked something more to do with the flag when it came to the clutch, to Rusev's submission finisher, maybe using the flag at some point. But here's a question I have for you, for all you patriotic Americans. I want to know, what is it about the flag? Because I've heard, and maybe I'm getting things mixed up in my head, but I'm sure I read that you are not allowed to let the cloth hit the floor. You let that cloth hit the floor and you're a disgrace. I was waiting to see. I saw the Bulgarian flag fall down and I thought, yeah, fuck it, that's going to happen. They don't give a shit about that. Rusev's mama is probably crying, but, you know, who really cares about her? It's about America! America! And I got to thinking about it. I thought, they're not going to let the American flag hit the floor. And then they did. And it wasn't a big deal. And nobody said anything. Like, I thought it was going to be this big turning point of the match of Rusev throwing the flag down on the floor. But no, they just let it drop. And that's where it missed out for me. But other than that, a decent flag match. Vince Russo would be very happy in his grave if he were dead. Let's take a look at the sheet. And we had nearly everyone going for Mr. Cena. Only a few people went with Rusev. One of them was Wayne. And anybody else? Yes, Living Legend. And Kiwi Tuts and T-Mac, a lot of our side. That's not a good sign. Oh well. Oh, guys, how could you think that Cena wasn't gonna win? It's a flag match, for fuck's sake. Anyway, Murica, let's move on. I think I've worked for, I've been out of the house for 12
12 hours today of coming to do this. Sorry, let's move on with the show before I start getting delusional. people at home going, Kai, you're already quite delusional. Sami Zayn versus Mike Kanellis next with Maria Kanellis in a singles match, 7 minutes 15 seconds. Sami Zayn picking up the win. I thought it was needed, I saw it coming. I don't like undefeated streaks. I like it when a wrestler will lose one of their first 5 matches because then it just gets it out of the way. We can move on. It's not a, and then they're not built up to a point where it's like, oh, we hate them because they're just getting thrown wins here, there, and everywhere. Start from the bottom and work your way up. And I hope that's what happens with the Kanellis. Can't believe I stole it, legend. The Kanellis. The Kanellises. Actually, yeah, I do prefer the Kanellis. Where do they go from here? I think they go the separate ways. I think that Mike Kanellis will win his next feud, but I'm glad that Sami Zayn didn't just lose because that's what he tends to do. He seems to put other talent over and not himself. And not himself be put over. So it was, you know, I'm happy with it. I'm happy with Sami Zayn getting that win. And finally, we have the Punjabi prison match for the WWE Championship. Jinder Mahal defeated Randy Orton. Now, I was quite tired when I watched this match, but it still was quite... Oh, I'm glad I wasn't live in attendance. I'd have been pissed off if I was live in attendance for Battleground because I can imagine you cannot see a thing through that prison. But other than that, there were some good moments. For example, the Singh brothers getting involved. I was, I'm happy with that. They're always getting involved. They bless them. Bless their tiny little hearts. They get thrown from pillar to post by Randy Orton. And part of me just wants to sit there and go, part of me thinks that the Singh brothers are going to be babyfaces soon just because they get the shit kicked out of them so much. And, it's a shame, but it's fucking hilarious to watch, I'm not going to lie. I found it quite funny to watch the Singh brothers just get dismantled week after week, pay-per-view after pay-per-view. Especially, kudos to the one that fell from the top of the structure through the announce table. That announce table didn't look like it had much give. It looked like it hurt his back very much. But it was a really cool moment. Other than that, though, it's hard to be positive about this match. It was going okay, and then we heard a certain person's music hit, and the great Carly walk out, and everyone went, what is going on? Why is this happening? And here's my issue with it. My issue isn't that Carly came out even. I could just about get over that. Here's my issue. On SmackDown, they barely mentioned it. They showed a clip to open up SmackDown of Jinder Mahal surviving the Punjabi prison and didn't show the great Khali. Now, I get why they did it, and that's why I don't have a massive problem with it. They want to do it for the Indian market. He's like the Rock over there, probably bigger, and he is in size. He's the fucking great Khali, but you know what I mean. And I'm happy I do understand why that happened, but the rest of it's just a bit, the fact that they haven't done anything with it. Why do it if you're not going to have Carly on there? I don't get that. I really don't. But Jinder Mahal defeated Randy Orton with the assist of the great Carly. Let's take a look at the sheet for the final time. Everyone going with Mahal, except for... No, everybody going with Mahal. Lots of people picking up plus fives, myself included. Well. Looks like that is Battleground in the books, and it was not a great pay-per-view. Let's face it, it was nowhere near the standard of Great Balls of Fire, and the SmackDown pay-per-views are falling a little bit. Money in the Bank wasn't great. Battleground wasn't much better. Come on, SmackDown, you need to pick it up a little bit. SmackDown have got a great show coming next week with AJ Styles versus Kevin Owens and Nakamura versus Cena. Nakamura versus Cena. What's going on there? Who knew that that was going to be happening within the next week? My mind was blown when I heard that. I thought, why are they doing it now? But I'm not going to complain. I'm happy to see it. But no, Battleground in the books. What were your thoughts? Get in touch, eurouppercut@gmail.com. I feel like I've been as positive as you can be, but maybe you feel that there are more positives to give. And we have been the European Uppercut Podcast. Remember, you can email in eurouppercut@gmail.com. You can also find us on Facebook, European Uppercut Podcast, or on Twitter, @TheEUPod. My name's been Kai Valentine. You can find me on Twitter @KaiJValentine. You can also find my show, Siren Legends, Legends on Siren FM, every week here on the Trending Topics Network or on Siren 107.3 FM at 10 p.m. on Monday nights or 4 p.m. on Thursdays for the repeat. I hope that you've enjoyed this solo edition. I hope that my rambling and ranting hasn't gone on too long. I've not done this for quite a while now, so please bear with me. And I'm very, very tired. Just finished 35-hour week of work and moving house and everything else. But hopefully when things settle down in the next few weeks, we'll be able to sort things out so we can get panels back or at least duos. And I think it was good. This show will thrive, and we do need a good wrestling product to thrive on, I think. And it might not be quite there for everyone just yet, but stick with wrestling, stick with the WWE, stick with, and if you're not into WWE, there's so much more for you to listen to, you know, for you to watch and listen to. I just made the same mistake that Heavy Set made on Hanging with Heavy, listening to, I was checking my levels. That's the problem. But like he said when I was listening to it this morning, go to the Fight TV app. There's so much on, and or even the WWE Network. Find stuff that you haven't watched in years or have never watched. There's so much content out there. There must be something for someone. But thank you for listening to my ramblings, and I have missed sitting in front of a microphone. I feel like I'm a little bit rusty, probably the overtiredness, but I'm going to be starting to produce Legends again from home over the next few weeks. So make sure that you stay tuned for them. And I'll keep you up to date with what's going on in my life as well. Remember, follow me on Twitter. Probably hear more about it on there. Thank you, everyone, for the birthday messages this week. I really appreciated it. God bless, sleep tight, whatever you're up to. Now, I'm definitely going to be sleeping tight in the next few minutes. But whatever you are up to, have a great week, and we'll see you all right back here next week.